Welcome to Turkey Trend, part of Ahwal podcast series. My name is Nivana Mahmoud. The Turkish foreign minister has announced that a new era in the relationship with Egypt has started, and a Turkish delegation will visit Cairo in May. To join me to discuss this relationship between the two countries is Stephen Cook, a senior fellow in the Council of Foreign Relations. Stephen, thank you for joining me for the second successive time, and welcome to Ahwal podcast.
Well, thank you, Nirvana. It's a great pleasure to be back with you so soon.
Thank you so much. So what is going on, Stephen? I'm sure you remember the 2013 tension between the two countries, the Rabah sign, how Erdogan expressed frustration after the ousting of Morsi. Now that the Egyptian leadership, which Erdogan clearly mentioned that he despised and hate, etc., is the same, but Turkey is willing to reset the relationship. My question is to you, A, why, and B, what can Turkey offer Egypt to lure the leadership to start a normalization and build trust?
Yeah, this is a super interesting story, Nirvana, because you're spot on with the coup d'etat in Egypt in July 2013. Turkey and in particular President Erdogan were outspoken in their condemnation of Sisi's taking power in Egypt, welcomed the Muslim Brotherhood to Turkey, allowed the Brotherhood to set up media stations in Turkey, all of which were designed to delegitimize Abdel Fattah Sisi and the new regime in Egypt. And this caused a tremendous amount of tension between the two countries. And from that time forward, officials from both countries did not have a good word to say about the other. It's been tremendously tense. I think the only other country in which it's been a more difficult relationship for Turkey in the region is perhaps the UAE. I would say Israel, but we know that, you know, robust business continued between Israel and Turkey, despite an often war of words between those two countries. So it is an interesting turn of events that the Turks, and let me underline this because this is an interesting aspect of the story, is that the Turks have been the most vocal about this. Every news story, even if it goes back to a newspaper or a website that is in the Arab world, is all sourced to Turkish sources. The Egyptians have been very, very mum on what's happening between the two countries. I think the most that they've allowed is that there's been discussions amongst officials from the intelligence services of both countries over Libya. But they've been very careful in saying that if Turkey wants a different relationship with Egypt, Turkey has to do a number of things. And this gets into the second part of your question. Mm-hmm. And I think the Egyptian demands are very clear. The Egyptian opponents of Turkey, Egyptian opponents of Sisi in Turkey need to cease their efforts to delegitimize the regime. The Turks need to hand over wanted Egyptians that have found safety in Turkey, and that Turkey's forces and its mercenaries need to leave Libya. Which is, of course, next door to
Egypt.
Egypt. Those are very significant asks on the part of Egypt.
Absolutely. But
I think it speaks to the fact that Egypt really is in the driver's seat here. Turkey is isolated in the region. It has been trying for months to split a coalition that is Egypt, Greece, Cyprus, Israel, and the UAE. They weren't successful in splitting the Israelis off. They weren't successful in splitting the Emiratis off. And now they are trying to do the same with Egypt. I mean, although I should say you get very different messages from the Egyptians. Egyptian officials who will say that, you know, nothing has changed. Nothing materially has changed between the two countries until Turkey performs and does the things that Egypt wants. The Turks say, oh, you know, it's happening. We're on the verge of a change. you know, that could be the Egyptians posturing, it could be the Turks posturing. And of course, many of the news outlets that are reporting on this are hardly trustworthy. It will be a realer development if the visit of the Turkish delegation to Cairo turns into a visit by Turkish Foreign Minister Çavuşoğlu to Cairo, and a real burying the hatchet, as we say here in the United States.
Right. I will tell you what we saw is just the announcement of temporary suspension of two famous program by two famous channels based in Turkey. And they mention it quite clearly, it is temporary suspension. One of the channel is sponsored by a famous Egyptian opposition, and he spoke on Clubhouse saying, we're going to wait. And he, all the Egyptian opposition based in Turkey claim they are happy with the normalization of the relationship, provided it brings something to them, either release of their prisoners from the Egyptian prisons or allowing them to return to Egypt. Do you see that as plausible? Because I don't, to be frankly honest. But I would love to see your take on it.
It seems odd to me for the Egyptian opposition that has been fulminating against President Sisi for all these years to be welcomed back to Egypt. And for them to expect to be welcomed back to Egypt and not immediately land in jail, no matter what agreement they think Turkey is signing with Egypt about their safety. There have been the propaganda that the two countries have waged against each other over this long period of time makes it hard for me to believe that one, on a broad level, publics are kind of willing to accept each other. And two, that the leaderships of these countries are suddenly going to be to trust each other. I think the Egyptians are probably painfully aware of the situation that the Israelis have been through with the Egyptians and the presence of Hamas in the country, and that in Turkey and the promises that the Turkish government has made, or the representations the Turkish government has made with regard to Hamas being in Turkey and what they were supposed to do, and that this is rarely, if ever, materialized, to the point where I think the Israelis have thrown up their arms and said, look, we're not going to bend over backwards for relations with Turkey. Turkey's going to actually have to pay a price in some way for the relationship. And I think that that's the line that the Egyptians have taken. I think they've been very clear on what their non-negotiables are here. It'll be very, very interesting to see whether Erdogan, who, you know, people say is famously pragmatic, whether he can make these kinds of policy U-turns after offering safe harbor to the Brotherhood and others who were opposed to Sisi. I remember being in Ankara in the years after Sisi came to power, and being in a meeting at the U.S. embassy, which is on the same street as the Egyptian embassy, and a large number of Turkish schoolgirls would every single day, I was there on one day, but I was told every single day, a large number of Turkish schoolgirls would stop in front of the U.S. embassy on their way to the Egyptian embassy, stop and give the Rabah sign, the four fingers, and then move their way up to the Egyptian embassy and do the same. Wow. So, you know, this is kind of the way in which the Turkish government handled this situation. So it was really in the odd parlance of Washington, a real climb down for Erdogan for him to achieve it. But the fact of the matter is that Turkey is isolated in the region. It has bad relations with every major country in the region, with the exception of the Qataris. It is suffering very difficult economic conditions in Turkey. Erdogan's international isolation is clearly a belief that it's impinging on him. I think that some of these kind of ideas like blue homeland, famously of these, you know, these retired admirals, I think led Erdogan down a garden path here that he, you know, is going to be very hard for him to get out of. Now he's fully committed to Libya. This has put them in a bind, because I think the calculation was that some of these countries would fold. And certainly the Greek foreign minister's visit to Turkey yesterday.
I will talk about that, I promise. But before we leave this bit of the Egyptian opposition, there is another. There are some masks circulating in Cairo and on Clubhouse from both sides. And I think it's just like testing the water. And one of them is that Turkey can help Egypt on the GERD issue. I found that, again, another mess or another circulated as a PR propaganda from the
government. I've heard this too. A couple of folks have asked me about it. Maybe I'm missing something here, but I don't see how Egypt can benefit from or
drone
needs.
Strategy, like if Egypt is willing to hit the dam, but I found it's 2,500 kilometer.
It is. Well, of course, you know, Turkish drones are sophisticated and they've been employed in ways that I think have surprised people. And so Turkey clearly has the military capacity that Egypt is seeking and that is unlikely to get from the United States, given U.S. differences with Egypt over human rights and things like that. But this kind of thing strikes me as odd, if only because the Egyptians themselves have said that they have no intention of engaging in hostilities with Ethiopia over the
Kurds.
Yes, they could have envisioned military action in Libya before military action in Ethiopia. It is very far away. Plus, you know, Egypt has its own capabilities. The question is, how the GERD issue is finally going to be resolved. I think adding Turkey to the mix, given Turkey's, you know, good relations with a lot of countries in Africa, I don't see how it really helps the Egyptian position. Plus, it would be extremely odd after all of these years of differences between the two countries for Egypt to turn to Turkey for help on GERD. It's turned to the United States. It's turned to the African Union. It's turned to other countries. Turkey, no, maybe for military hardware that they can't source elsewhere. But of course, that also doesn't make a lot of sense given the fact that Egypt has purchased more defense articles from Russia
than since
the 1970s. Perhaps they are concerned about running afoul of CATSA sanctions in dealing with the Russians. But again, I think everybody after what's happened in Syria, what's happened in Libya, what's happened in Nagorno-Karabakh are interested in Turkish drone technology. I think that goes without saying. Perfect. To tie this to the GERD, there's really no evidence that the Egyptians are interested in. You know, again,
absolutely.
I've had conversations with Egyptians and they haven't said anything about this.
Perfect. I agree with you entirely on this, and it remains to be seen. I'm happy to, you know, we can be surprised, you never know. But let me move to the file which you mentioned, and I agree it is the most important file, which is Libya. Over the last week or so, there was intense diplomacy from the Libyan leadership. The prime minister was in Turkey and asserted that the maritime deal with Libya, with Turkey, will be maintained, and the relationship between the two countries is great, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the head of presidential council was in Greece and praised Greece and said that Greece is a gateway to Europe. Now is the dragging things into this is if any reconciliation between Egypt and Turkey will have to reach an understanding in Libya. So how do you see that?
Well, you know, the Egyptians are taking a hard line on the Turkish presence in Libya. And I think the Greeks are taking a hard line on the maritime agreement between Turkey and Libya. And I think that they're tied. And so I sense that the Libyans must be quite concerned that the Turks are going to leave them out to dry. And that's why they, you know, show up in Turkey and say, everything's great, you know, hug the Turks, take their temperature, and then go and make nice with Greece. One can, you know, in the pragmatism of Erdogan, the Libyans may be the big losers here. I don't know for sure, but, you know, if you look at the tea leaves here, if Erdogan wants to have some sort of if an accommodation between Turkey and Egypt is afoot, It is also it is clearly going to have to do with Libya, and that then brings in the Greeks. And the odd country out in that is clearly Libya.
Fascinating. Very interesting take, Stephen, because again, social media is full of rumors that the American is going to leave Libya to be divided between zone of interest between the Egyptian and Turk. And I found that, again, very odd and very implausible.
Well, you know, social media.
Absolutely.
We've been on it a long time together to know that.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to filter out 99.9% of it.
Exactly. But that's bring me to, you know, I'm sure you have your encounters with Turkish troll and in Turkish media. We talked about that before, but Daily Sabah have wrote an interesting headline that Ankara, Tripoli and Cairo must be prepared for sabotage and intervention by Greece. So now Egypt is the good guy and Greece is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you mentioned yesterday press council, which another sofa gate, if I may say. So how do you see that?
Something about that sofa.
Absolutely.
Look, the Greeks are clearly angry. This, you know, it's good that the two sides are talking. And I think the Greeks did something that I think the Turks are not used to. They laid out what their concerns are directly in front of the cameras and without mincing words. I give them a lot of credit because up until this point, I've watched four presidents of the United States unwilling to do that. And the Greeks were very, very clear about what the problems were. Of course, you know, Daily Sabah is going to twist stories given whatever Erdogan and the Justice and Development Party's political needs are at the moment. And so if this is the big turn, you know, I think everybody can agree, you know, Greek, Turkish nationalists and others can agree on the perfidy of Greece. And so Greece is now going to be the target as it has been all along. But I think it's unlikely that Egypt and Greece, they're going to be able to peel Egypt away from Greece. And these kinds of headlines give credence to something that we've talked about before is, you know, what truly are Turkish intentions here? Mm-hmm. Are they genuinely interested in a rapprochement with countries of the region because they are isolated and decided that this aggressive approach to foreign policy in the immediate neighborhood has not worked? Or are they interested in splitting the coalition that has basically, you know, blocked them and bottled them up? And those types of headlines would suggest that actually it's the latter, not the former.
Yes.
Because if they are interested in rapprochement, if they are interested genuinely in a more Pacific Eastern Mediterranean, then Greece should be part of this process. Sure,
mm-hmm.
Turkey has legitimate gripes with Greece. There is this question of Greece's maritime zones and how it does bottle up Turkey and you know Turkey has a 900 mile coastline with the Mediterranean. But all those things are things that you can imagine being resolved through negotiation. Certainly can't imagine them being resolved through an aggressive approach to foreign policy. But again, those kinds of headlines, and we know that Daily Sabah faithfully reflects the thinking of the party leadership.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Raises questions in my mind, despite what people say about social media, you know, people celebrating the rapprochement between Turkey and Egypt. People were never really interested in this before, oddly. I think this is the kind of thing that we should take with tremendous amount of caution. It could work out, and that's a good thing, and it could be the best possible scenario. But I think as good analysts, you have to consider a range of possible outcomes and a range of possible motivations on the part of all the governments here.
That's very interesting, and I have to say I agree with you entirely, as always. Can you see I feel that Egypt could be stuck here. I don't see the lukewarm response that you mentioned from the Egyptian is basically because they are careful. They don't want to be hostile to Turkey, but I am sure they will never consider, I mean, highly unlikely, let's put it, to revoke the maritime deal between them and Greece, because that would be really damaging, isn't it?
Right. Egypt is the ultimate status quo power. It wants to have, obviously, would want to have good relations with Turkey on a variety of levels. They haven't chosen the kind of hostility with which they have been confronted since the coup d'état in 2013. You can understand why the Turks were upset about this coup, given how much they had invested in Mohamed Morsi, given their own history of coups d'etat, in any event.
Sure.
But at the same time, Egypt, Israel, those two countries in particular have really made great strides diplomatically and geostrategically since their relations with Turkey have deteriorated. I'm not saying there's a causal relationship there, but look at what's happened. You have the Eastern Mediterranean gas forum, you have a flowering of Egyptian-Greek relations, you have the further development of Egyptian-Cypriot relations, you have these maritime agreements. Cyprus and Greece are reliable voices inside the European Union about Turkey tamping down on criticism of Egypt. Those things are important to Egypt. The question that the Egyptians have to ask themselves is what are we getting from
exactly?
I think at one time you could look at Turkey as this powerhouse, this economic powerhouse, but no longer. So I guess it's a status quo thing. It is not wanting to have conflictual relations with a major country in the region, and it also raises the prospect of shutting down the Brotherhood and getting back wanted people. Whether you think that's appropriate or not, but that's the way they look at it. And getting this foreign power, out of Libya. I mean, this is Egypt's backyard. So I think those are the things they think that they can gain. The question is whether the Turks will perform.
Will be willing to do. One final question, Stephen. How do you see the Biden administration see all that? Is they are keen to see Turkey and Egypt are friends again, or they are not too bothered, whatever?
This administration has so many priorities, and that I think that if Egypt and Turkey were to patch things up, that is one headache that they don't have to deal with. There's just a real, as we say, bandwidth issue, given the pandemic, given the U.S. economy, given race relations in the country, given big issues like Russia, like China. These are things that are important. Now, of course, Egypt and Turkey figure into those Russia and China conversations.
Absolutely.
Turkey has developed great relations with
Egypt,
these countries. If Egypt and Turkey are part of what, are they part of an axis or not? Egypt has good relations with Russia. As I said, has bought more defense articles from Russia than they have since the 1970s. China is investing like crazy in Egypt. The Egyptians, don't necessarily want to be made to make a choice.
Absolutely.
So there's lots of talk here in Washington that Turkey can once again be an important partner against Russia. I have, my doubts. I think, yes, Turkey and Russia are on opposite ends of a number of conflicts, but they've also compartmentalized those differences because they have broader strategic, a broader confluence of strategic interests, particularly as it relates to the United States and their view of the United States. So I think it's a much more complicated picture than it was during the Cold War. But yes, Turkey and Egypt figure into those big conversations. And if Egypt and Turkey are not at odds, it makes it easier for the United States to deal with those bigger issues.
Stephen, as always, it's a pleasure to have you and to listen to your thoughts. Thank you so much for this conversation.
It is always a pleasure to be with you, Nirvana.
Thank you, Stephen.
Really, truly. Thank you. Bye. Are we going to video now?
Yes, I will. Shall I? Here it is. Hello.
Hello.
You can follow Ahval News online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.